Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
It's time for Everybody Eats, the show that blends the perfect recipe of food, fun, and the fabulous queer community.
Hello.
Our hosts guide you through a feast of lively conversations and diverse dishes. Get ready for an hour of flavour-packed enjoyment right here on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Everybody Eats, a brand new show on Joy. We are here for season one of 2024. My name is Brett and I'm joined by Milo and Anastasia tonight.
Hello, friends.
Hello, hello.
So tonight, it's a little bit of an introduction. It's a little bit of a get to know you. We're just going to have a little bit of a chat about how we kind of came up with the idea for this show. A little bit of kind of our goals and plans, and just kind of go from there. Anastasia.
Yeah, well, time flies. We're live now. So we came across each other by sort of land quite well by Jackie. And then so Sasha Sadek, so another personality on our show, and myself, we were talking about, we love food. So the two of us, we love food. We always take pictures of the food we eat, the food that we cook as well. And we wanted to promote joy and reaching out to more people through food and talking about food trends and sharing recipes and all of that. And then Jackie, you know, Kinder, the, is it production? No, content.
Content coordinator.
Yeah, content manager here. And then she's like, oh, there's another show. And I think you guys would be wonderful together, like, you know, just to amalgamate our personality into the show, and that's how we met.
So we've ended up being a little bit of a blend of two shows coming together, and it's actually been a little bit of a match made in heaven. We've got a team of six that have all kind of come together. We will rotate out, so you will have different hosts every single week. Yeah. But from our side of things, Milo and I, as well as our other hosts, Matt and Robbie, we all recently just did the radio training course just at
That's
the end
right.
of last year.
We graduated Joy Academy in September, was it?
It was. It seems like yesterday, though. I can't believe we're live in studio.
It was such a great experience. And if anybody's interested in learning more about how to put a show together or do paneling here on radio or learning about podcasts, we really recommend you jump onto the Joy website and find out more, because here we are, not too many months later.
It's gone by really, really quickly. And, I mean, in that course, we've done everything from interview techniques, panel operation, even down to, producing a show and, you know, guidelines of what you can and can't put on community radio. Our assessment for the end of the course was called Joy Dinner Party. It was a little bit about a safe space for queer people to come together to kind of be a part of, you know, dinner table chat and feel like you've got a safe place with friends kind of join every week. It was a really fun experience.
It was great.
What did you think, Milo?
I loved it. And I think it worked really well with the girls who have now joined us, and we've created a whole new sort of a Frankenstein show. It's morphed into something completely new. It's about celebrating how lucky we are to live in, from my point of view, we're a place and a time where we have such amazing food options. We can experience cultures from the furthest reaches of the globe and learn more about people through food.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you were to describe what Everybody Eats is, Anastasia, what do you think?
Oh my gosh, I think we're like a big hot pot of personalities. Like, I mean, I've been, you know, working with everybody, and of course, you know, Sasha and I, we have more experience with radio and public speaking, and the first things I noticed would be, geez, we're going to have a great, great show just based on the personalities we have. But then, and also, you know, the team is always open to learn. we just click on quite well after the first meeting, and you know, and we are really curious to know, like, how the listeners as well, like, how did you meet your besties and how did you meet your self-made families, you know? How did you guys meet each other? Email us to onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427-569-949, because we're keen to know of your journey to your to friendships and families too.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing I'm most excited about as well, is just the interaction that we're going to have with the queer community, and just finding out, I think, you know, how food connects us, and everyone's kind of different journeys, I think. Speaking of that, before we kind of jump into our show, I think it'd be nice just to do a little bit of a get to know you. Anastasia, do you want to maybe chat a little bit about yourself, your kind of backstory, just to give all of us here a little bit of an idea about yourself and your journey with food?
Yeah, okay. So my name is Anastasia Lay. I used to be with on shows such as like Trans POV, Gender Agenda, and on occasion with Sam Elkin on Transgender Heroes, something like that, on Joy. So I am of forcibly displaced background, and of course I'm a person of colour. I'm a woman of trans experience, and well, with food, it's such a big thing for me since growing up. I love it. And it's for me, with my culture, I grew up seeing people bonded together over food. And I can assume with you, I can assume that everybody does the same thing. And I think at the end of the day, that's what joy is about. Joy is to be shared amongst people from the queer community to the broader communities. And and outside of my work in employment service and social services, I have my fingers in lots of pies lately. So I'm help Joy as well, steering how Joy can reach out to further audience, the Victorian Pride Awards, and so on and so forth.
I think you're...
I'm a food scientist too.
I was about to say, you're being a little bit modest. Probably on our entire panel of presenters that you're going to get to know here, Anastasia... She's definitely our expert.
She's got the most credentials.
She's got the food science. So when we start talking about things, she's going to be the one correcting us and actually saying no.
Bringing us back in when we start babbling.
This is how it really is.
So food, nutrition, dietetics, things like that. I have some background in that.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. How about you, Milo?
Well, I'm your resident AV geek and pop music aficionado, but I also love entertaining and trying out new recipes that I found online. I love kitchen gadgets and testing out kitchen hacks, things like that. But when it comes to entertaining at home, I'm one of those people who hasn't really decided if they are like a front of house person or a back of house person. I think it's probably wise to pick a role and stick to it, because like if you're the one decorating...
In the kitchen or the bedroom?
I mean, that too.
I like back of house.
Your back of house? Well, I don't know. I like to be pouring the cocktails, but I also like to be making sure the oven isn't on fire, and you can't have both. And I've learned that the hard way. What about you? Are you a front of house person or a back of house?
It depends what mood I'm in. but I mean, my journey, I'm a former musical theatre performer who I'm no longer performing. In terms of my food journey, I'm I'm a former meatarian, so I never ate vegetables and I only ate like meat and potatoes.
Oh, right.
And then I turned 30 and was like...
had a heart attack?
And then I was like, you need to eat a vegetable. So I forced myself to eat vegetables and I became vegetarian. And then I had a period where I called myself a kangatarian.
Right.
Where I only ate game meat.
Okay.
And
is that
obviously
for like ethically sourced reasons?
It had to do with educating myself around meat production and the meat industry and everything like that.
That's amazing.
But now I'm still waiting to start my New Year's diet. But it's on the cards.
have you picked one yet?
I haven't. Not at all.
We can do some research for you.
No, but that's, that's me. As well, I, you know, lived in Europe for quite a while, so a lot of my food influences are more European, I would say. Mm-hmm. I lived in Germany for a while and, very, you know, meat-heavy foods. I'm looking forward to kind of discussing and sharing how those experiences compare with some of the other people here in the group.
Yeah, right. Mm.
I think it's maybe time for us to take a little bit of a break.
You're listening to Everybody Eats on Joy 949. It is Anastasia,
Brett,
and Milo.
Everybody Eats, serving you the best in food, fun, and fabulousness on Joy.
Don't you think the kitchen is the best place to have conversations? I think about it. Where does everyone end up at a party? Whether you're cooking or cleaning or just socializing, everyone ends up in the kitchen. It's a melting pot for all kinds of conversations, and that's what I hope this show is going to be about. And we've actually got the whole team in here today.
So it is a little bit crowded. As we mentioned before, there are six presenters. And week to week, you will have three of us rotating in and out. So it'll be a little bit different every week. But just for the first one, we thought it would be really nice to continue introducing the rest of the team. So we are joined by Robbie, Sasha, and Matt. Hello.
Hi.
So we're just going to like maybe go around a little bit. Robbie, maybe do you want to start and give us a little bit of an intro about yourself, your backstory, your food journey?
My backstory, my front story, you guys. You're so rude. I'm Robbie Leslie. Pronouns they, them. Also identify as a lesbian. And it's interesting because I don't have the strong background like my friend across the table here, Anastasia. But I was actually thinking about it today when I was driving here, and I thought, you know, my childhood was very rich eating out at a lot of Asian restaurants. And I was thinking about that. We did that a lot with my dad because he was always entertaining people that he worked for. So, but I'm actually the vegan on this panel, and if you could see them in the studio now, their heads are laughing.
We are not rolling our eyes at all. Yes,
I didn't roll my eyes once.
I could hear their eyes rolling, but anyway, I'll be the butt of everyone's jokes, but I'll be okay.
Never,
because I'm going to convert Brett, put him on a nice strict vegan diet.
I'm game.
Yeah. What about us?
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
No. There's no chance of converting you two. So, I'm a lover of food, you know. I always have been. I love to cook and I probably don't entertain as much as I used to, but I'd like to do a bit more of that. But I love cooking and eating and, so that's me.
Well, we're definitely excited to have you at our table, Robbie. Now we have Sasha.
Hello, hi.
Now, Sasha's definitely a foodie. You may have seen some of her little viral food reviews and TikToks. Sasha, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name is Sasha Sadek, and I originally from Singapore, but I live in Melbourne now. I'm a foodie. I go out to restaurant, check out new restaurants almost every week as well. And we do have favorites as well. So I love to cook. And the funny part is I only start to learn how to cook at the age of 24. So, I don't know how. I had to learn how to cook when I came to Australia because, I didn't have all those privileges. So at the time, there was no iPhone that you can actually Google a recipe. So I have to call my mom to ask for those recipes that my favorite dishes. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I'm here, because of Anastasia. Anastasia, we both always posting food pictures and videos on Facebook, and we share a lot. And I guess, I think some of these restaurants should be paying me because I've been promoting them. A lot of my friends on Facebook have been going to their restaurants and having the same experiences.
Well, even just like us here in our production meetings, we've wasted so much time talking about where we want to go and eat.
Yeah.
You guys have been everywhere. You have the best tips.
So, well, yes, that's it. Yeah. So, this is my first show with Joy, and I'm so happy to be in the family.
Well, she's been everywhere. She, you know, now you know who has the money. So for me, I'm the opposite. I'm all about sustainability and saving food and cooking at home. So, yeah, but then it's a great team that we have different ideas.
Of course, yeah.
How about yourself, Matt?
And Minx, yes.
Matt. Me? Well, I don't know really what to – I'm probably the one who eats the least because I'm the skinniest out of all of us.
Oh, sure she is. Them's fighting words.
Well, oh, I had to throw it in.
She's got tickets on herself.
Oh, no tickets. Well, I do. They're going cheap if anybody wants to buy any. Yeah, I suppose that I'm here to learn from all of you guys, really. Yeah, because I probably, even though I've worked in hospitality for, I did work in hospitality, I no longer do, but I was in that industry for 29 years. Working in restaurants, you kind of pick up a couple of things here and there from chefs that you work with and, you know, good habits, bad habits, and figure out what you do and don't like in a culinary sense. Mm-hmm. And being in hospitality, it sort of sets up a really, really bad eating habit. So that's what I'm hoping to pick up from you guys.
Well, you're like our professional insight, I think, into the food industry, into the restaurant industry.
Well, into the serving industry of the food anyway, at the very least, yeah, perhaps, yeah.
And as well with your contributions to entertainment and the queer community.
Absolutely.
There is an alter ego. Do you want to talk a little bit about who Minx is?
Oh, dear. Well, I suppose Minx we brought out for the promo shoot. Generally, I keep her locked away in a cage because she can be a bit of a handful. But I think that, you know, she did promise she'll be on her best behaviour, so I might let her out of the cage next week to host with the other two girls. Maybe. I haven't decided yet. We'll see. If she's a good girl.
Lovely. Sasha, I'm just going to ask you, what are your goals for Everybody Eats? Where do you see this show going?
I think I want to share, especially with my culture. You know, I don't see much of my culture here in Australia as and I just got to know a lot more with a queer Muslim here last year, and it just opened up everything for me because I didn't think that there was a lot of them here. And and Ramadan is coming and in March, so we will be, stay tuned because there's going to be events coming up that will be host, me and Budi will be hosting Ramadan queer Iftar, Iftar and Ramadan is the same thing. So Iftar is like the breakfast. So yeah, so I want to share a lot of my culture that I grew up with. So that's my goal.
I can see that we've had some messages in. Is there anything there that you maybe want to share, Milo?
Well, we've had one from Mum and Dad Hibbard. Who is that?
So my mum and dad are listening.
Oh,
I'm glad we have at least two listeners. Thanks, Mum and Dad. Love all the support that you always give me.
If you would love to, you know, please keep supporting us by, you know, sharing your ideas and what you would like us to cover on our show to our onair@joy.org.au, or you can SMS 0427 569 949.
And you can read out the message, Bretty. From your parents.
It says, loving the show, Brett, Milo and Anastasia. You all sound fabulous and so professional.
Aww.
How nice. Who else do we have? Oh, is this from Rach?
This is from our morning joy breakfast crew.
Rach Morrison.
She's so supportive. She also wrote me a little message on Instagram. Rach actually taught some of the modules from our course, and she was a brilliant teacher. So thank you, Rach.
She says, feels like a proud mum.
Thank you.
That's because she is.
We absolutely
and she is a proud mum. She is a proud mum.
Thanks, Rach.
Thank you, Rach.
The third one.
Anything else there?
There's one more.
Someone's thrilled to hear that Robbie's vegan, as it means that there are three new shows on Joy this week where two of the hosts are vegan.
That
look
means
out.
Like
going to take Paul. Over the world.
Yeah. Not on my
one
shift.
One lettuce at a time.
One lettuce.
Speaking of which,
oh, that's plenty to take a stab at, I think, in my book. I'll be the one that'll be making the fun out of that one.
Spice up your night with Everybody Eats, serving you the best in food, fun and fabulousness. Enjoy.
And welcome back to Everybody Eats on Joy 949. It is Anastasia, Brett and Milo today. So that was my voice earlier that I just listened to. I couldn't recognize my voice. Now
you sound lovely.
Oh, thank you. Also, this, I love hanging out with the gays.
always full of compliments.
Mm-hmm. You should come with me to work. Now, before I started to talk more about the vegan piece that, you know, Robbie kind of brought to the plate earlier, I would like to, you know, also acknowledge a wonderful email, a listener from Brisbane.
Wayne from Brisbane has sent in a lovely picture of their dinner. It looks like a lovely salad and a quiche. And I love this. If you're eating dinner right now and you want to snap a pic and email it through to onair@joy.org.au, we're curious to know what queers are eating tonight.
And also for content suggestion, you can also email to everybodyeats@joy.org.au.
Yes, you can.
Now, so earlier, Robbie kind of mentioned about vegan. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, for Lunar New Year, I can't speak on behalf of other countries and cultures that observe Lunar New Year, but in my culture, we have a tradition of eating vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Or vegetarian.
Oh, really?
For Lunar New Year.
Right.
And for the full moon. Mm-hmm. And the end of the month, like of the lunar calendar.
And for those just tuning in, can you just tell us, you know, a little bit more information about your background and culture?
So I'm Vietnamese. So my dad came from the north and my mum came from the south. So it's a wonderful mixture already because, you know, there's always like some sort of friction between the north of Vietnam and south of Vietnam. And so with and many people kind of mistake Vietnamese Lunar New Year to Chinese New Year,
mm-hmm.
but in fact, they're quite different.
Okay.
I've learned that Chinese Lunar New Year is actually based on the lunisolar calendar. So it means that they observe the movement of the, you know, the moon phases, but at the same time, they incorporated the position of the sun as well. Oh. Versus Vietnamese lunar calendar is purely just based around the moon cycle. However, because, you know, of colonization and all of that, mm-hmm. or imperialism, places like Japan, Korea, Vietnam, we kind of observe on similar day to the Chinese calendar.
Mm.
But from time to time, you would have the years where, like, Vietnamese Lunar New Year would be like a month before or after the Chinese Lunar New Year. Yeah, so it's really fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
And I can tell you more about why later if you're interested.
No, absolutely. I mean, how did you celebrate Lunar New Year then growing up in Vietnam?
Mm. So we'd start with, it's like a Christmas and New Year thing for us, right? So we would have our last day of business in school on that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so usually for me personally, I would travel to the countryside. Just like an hour of motorbike ride from Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City, and just spend time with my grandmothers and my relatives down that way. Usually, for me, because my family would not allow us to have video games at home.
No.
The early source of entertainment for us was books, or we had to create our own toys. So we would spend time like going to the neighbors, paying to play on their, is it Nintendo 64 or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
The time when we had like, is it Bomberman and Street Fighting?
Oh, yeah. Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, I know them all.
Yeah. So we paid our neighbors to then play on there, and then we would play until like almost midnight, because midnight is the part where then our family members would then make an offering.
Okay.
To you know, to our ancestors and to nature and, you know, to the deities that we worship.
Yeah.
Yeah, and usually the offerings would have like just some boiled chicken, rice, some pickles and all of that, and like Vietnamese version of ham. But then like many people who eat vegan, because there's strong Buddhism in Vietnamese culture too, then, you know, they would have all of these vegan dishes, and usually you can always find them at Vietnamese shelves. Yeah.
Wow. So traditionally you would eat more vegan on Vietnamese Lunar New Year?
Yeah, I mean that's the usual practice, and simply because I guess there's a belief that, you know, you should not start your year with blood. I think that's the belief around it.
Mm. Okay.
And then now, like, you know, even though I don't really speak to my family as much, but I still speak to my friends here and there, and they told me because of industrialization, Vietnamese people there are now more careful with meat, which is kind of surprising to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because back then when I was growing up, like, the meat would be so fresh, like the animals would be slaughtered like at 3 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. By 5 or 6 a.m. it would be on the shelf at the markets already and local markets, so you have access to fresh meat every day versus cold storage in Australia. Mm. So yeah, so so now I think people really start to consume less and less meat in Vietnam too.
Fascinating.
Mm.
How then, like, would Lunar New Year in Vietnam differ to how you celebrate it here now? Are you still, like, this weekend, it's Lunar New Year. Have you got vegan meals planned?
Well, these days, even personally for me, I mean, I call myself daughter of the earth, and I observe a lot of different days. Like, I always hang out with Sasha for any Muslim days, and I would hang out with my Hindi friends and celebrating their own cultural stuff. I call myself daughter of the earth, and the only things I don't really celebrate would be Christmas and the Gregorian calendar stuff. Yeah,
because okay.
I guess I'm a heathen.
Yeah, well, are there foods that you miss that you can't get here in Australia from around that time or the celebration?
Yeah, I think it's I mean, there is a snack in my family that is served all year round, which I would love to talk more about in a future show on Joy 949, of course, but on another time. I think it's just the quality of the stuff that we have in Australia, because, of course, anything fermented, anything pickled and preserved, I think, because we have Australia and New Zealand food standards, they have stricter food regulation.
Yeah.
So therefore, stuff that come to Australia tend to be a bit saltier as well. And so there's that. And it's just the quality. Because I think because a lot of the things we consume these days, right, they are not really native from Australia. So I feel like they just don't taste as good. Does that make sense? Because Vietnam, everything is naturally from there, minus the ones introduced by American through, you know, such as corns and all of that. But then, yeah, it's really interesting.
I mean, I don't think food is designed to travel. And, you know, I just know from living in Germany for so many years that a lot of the time, like here in Australia, you can get certain foods year round, but they don't grow year round. They're imported from somewhere. Whereas there are a lot stricter laws in Europe and especially in Germany that you really can only get certain things at certain times of the year. One thing that it always made me laugh is that Germans would get so excited about asparagus. There would be, it's generally around September, and it's this white asparagus that boil and then you cover in hollandaise sauce, but they call it Spargelzeit, which is like asparagus time.
It's asparagus time.
It's asparagus time.
So do you think they have an obsession with white or an obsession with just this taste of asparagus?
I don't know. Possibly a little bit of both. But yeah, they would just get so excited, and it would almost every time it would roll around that time of year, it was such a surprise, and they would like come into the store and they'd be like, "Ooh, Spargel!" And just get so excited, and I was like, "It's just if I'm not
asparagus
a fan.
Is not a thing that I would get excited about."
No,
like, you know, here when they like mangoes when they come to season, they auction the first box off, and it's a big deal. Not asparagus, though.
Germans get very, very excited about asparagus. And I guess also have different kind of New Year traditions as well. I'm not sure. Are pigs a sign of luck in, like, Lunar New Year, or is there anything to do with pork? You said that there's a lot of vegan food.
Yeah. Well, I mean, pork is a crucial part of a Vietnamese diet. I mean, the more modern post-Chinese imperialism since like 2600 BC, thereabout. But then, yeah, so pork is an important part of our diet for sure. But vegan, I think personally for me, as you asked me earlier, for me, I try to eat a bit lighter these days, and because I have a big event in March that I'm just trying to keep my figure in shape. You know, thanks to estrogen and aging, my body is not the same anymore. You know, so yeah, so I would be, I've been making my own kombucha and this specific ginger bark drinks.
Okay.
And then I've been making my own kimchi using the same starter. Okay. I've been making a lot, because I told you, I'm a home cooked person. Mm. Everything, like, home-baked and homemade. So, yeah, so that's what I would be doing. But most likely I would be recovering for this Lunar New Year Eve, because I am going to a queer Arab party, party on the night before.
Fun.
And we have the street pride, Pride Street party
That's Sunday.
So I might just give myself a bit of a break and a bit of a detox through vegan and celebrate my culture then.
Nice. I mean, the only reason I was asking about pork is because it does also reflect into German culture as a sign of luck. So it's tradition on in Germany to give little pigs made out of marzipan, so candies as like a sign of luck. So I was just interesting to see whether that's something that translates across cultures or if that's just
the other traditions that you've meant that Vietnamese people have carried through from Lunar New Year from China.
So I guess like the red pocket.
You do get a little red pocket.
And then what else have we got? Like the anything to do with red.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have kumquat, the sour ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because this is a part where, for myself as a person from Vietnamese culture, I feel sad from time to time. Like, I've seen Sasha embracing all of these indigenous stuff that she has. And then I look at myself like, oh my gosh, I don't know where my people came from anymore. Mm. Like, I know that they used to be in the pocket of the north of Vietnam. There's a lot of things, and I can say that, you know, agricultural significance of pig later.
Well, maybe
on,
we'll just put a pin in the pig just for a second.
You're listening to Everybody Eats on Joy 949.
Mix a spoonful of laughter, a handful of diverse conversation, and a pinch of queer flair. And you've got Everybody Eats on Joy 94.9.
And we are talking about Lunar New Year right now. Mm. Anastasia, can you tell us like what we might expect if you were out and about in the city and happened upon Chinatown, for example? What kind of celebrations would be happening?
So already, across Victoria, you can see that you have a different Lunar New Year festival hosted in different city councils.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly if you're in Melbourne, it would be Richmond, St Albans, Springvale, Sunshine, so on and so forth. And even Crown, along the Esplanade, you would see lanterns, red lanterns. It is something that I think more predominantly Chinese. And also, just so you know, this year is the year of the dragon.
That's right. A few dragons in this studio.
Yeah. And then, I think this where the Vietnamese Lunar New Year can be quite different from the Chinese New Year in the fact that because Chinese zodiac, they observe or they have the rabbit. And in Vietnamese culture, we have the cats.
Okay.
Cats.
In our zodiac.
Yeah.
In place of the rabbit.
Oh.
And, to me, and this is something that I'm trying to understand. I've tried understanding before, and the only thing that I can come up with is that because cats also hold a very significant role in Vietnamese agriculture, because they helped, eliminating mites and pests and all of that. And then that's another reason why Vietnamese lunar calendar can be quite different to other lunar calendar in Southeast Asia,
mm-hmm.
because, the moon cycle and because of the geographical landscape, our harvesting season can be quite different.
Mm.
And therefore, our Lunar New Year's are quite different within our region as well. So, it's a wonderful mix of everything. And there's a lot of for you two to learn and absorb, so I can start my quiz later.
I purposely didn't do any research on Lunar New Year. I'm really inexperienced with it, but because I knew that I'd have this chance to kind of chat with you as this wealth of information. How about if someone this weekend didn't really have any plans or potentially, doesn't really like going out or interacting with people, what recipe would you recommend someone to potentially cook this weekend?
Well, before I answer that, I would like to then again confirm with Wayne,
from Brisbane about an email that he sent through to onair@joy.org.au and also through SMS 0427 569 949 about sharing grandma's recipes. And yes, we would love to welcome families' recipes into the show because we have a lot of things in the pipelines on this wonderful show. Mm-hmm. Now, to answer your question, Brett, the one thing, if you have a family close friend who is Vietnamese, then I think one of the things that you can cook for them would be pork shoulder, like slowly braised in coconut. So it's like a mixture of like coconut and fish sauce, kind of caramelized a bit with a pork shoulder in it and some boiled egg.
Ooh.
And what you can do, and so usually in Vietnam, we would, because my family and many families who have access to better nutrients, then we would make like a big vase of that to eat throughout the celebration, because usually in Vietnam it's 10 days of celebration and most shops we would be closed for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
Not these days anymore. Yeah. Like many people just open after, like within half an hour once they've done their bit with their ancestors. But so it's a very simple recipe. For me, the way I cook it would be different from the way my mum and the four mothers who cooked it. So for me, it would be pork shoulder or pork neck. Because pork neck is still quite cheap. It's soft as well and tender. And what I would do is I would season it with a fish sauce, a bit of shallots, a bit of garlic and chilies.
Mm. And then, sorry, can I just ring in here? I know I'm meant to be the panel operator for I've got the munchies. Thanks, girl. That sounds amazing. I just had to ring in and say that. Sorry.
I was just salivating here listening to you. I'm like,
precisely.
I'm hungry.
Then, and so just quickly set aside, because this is the part where, you know, like my learning and from Western culture kind of helped me with. So just set aside all of that, and then you put in fresh coconut juice or coconut juice from the can, and just coconut sugar.
Oh, wow.
And fish sauce. So again, it's, you know, so you know the basics recipes, because everybody's taste is quite different, right? So I just give you the footprint. And then, you know, just some like cloves of garlic. You can add in like one whole onions as well. And if you plan to have one whole onion in it, I would suggest you to quickly char it on the stove or pop it in the oven with the foil, you know, around it to really intensify and sweeten the flavor. And then you braise it until it's tender. So always remember, bring it to the boil, skim off the impurities, and then put it down to a simmer, like very low heat, and just leave it in there to cook. So it's like you're poaching it essentially. So yeah.
I love this.
Sounds delicious.
I feel like we're going to have to get the transcript of this start a little Everybody Eats blog
that's something in the pipeline too.
We definitely need to get some recipes and tips out there. We have had another message in from Clayton. Congrats on the new show. Sounding great. I spent a Lunar New Year in northern China where we experienced 24-hour fireworks and crackers for the full 7 days we were there.
No way.
There How was not sleep? A lot of sleep that week. Intense. Wow.
Yeah. Wow, that's intense. So firecrackers is something that we would have in Vietnam.
Yeah.
But then like at the same time we would have a tradition of raising something quite similar to the maypole. So I'm just really interesting.
What about the dragon dances? Do you have the lion dances and the dragon dances?
So that's something again Chinese influence as well, but we would have that, and we would have like this person impersonating this like god or the deity of the earth, and going around and asking people to, you know, bless him luck and everything.
Well, that's similar in Germany, actually. It was actually really scary because they all have fireworks at midnight, but they, like, point them at your feet. Never go out on the street at midnight in Germany just because I would fear for my life. My femme side comes out when I scream, let's say.
Somebody's shooting fireworks at your feet, I'd scream as well.
Anastasia, I heard that you have a little quiz planned for us.
Yeah. To see if you boys have been listening to me, because I'm sick of having the man at work not listening to me. So,
work, girl. A test.
Right. First of all, what would be the color to represent the new year for us?
Are we doing our names, our buzzer? Because I got that one.
Yeah.
Red. Red is the color. Yep. That's why I'm wearing it today.
Ding, ding. Yeah. One score for Milo. So, what would be the dish that I would cook?
The lamb shoulder.
Wrong.
No.
Pork shoulder.
Yes. Oh. Yay. Yes. So 1 point for Brett.
Braised with coconut
milk.
Yeah. And then what else do we do at Lunar New Year's Eve? What Ooh. Do we do at Lunar New Year's Eve?
Milo.
Get together with all your family.
Yes.
And cook.
No. Oh, no, no, no. Like offering up to your deity.
Yeah.
Boiled chicken.
Ding,
rice.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. Yep.
Very good. So, yeah, so that's more important than getting your family together, just so you know.
So it's more important that your gods eat well rather than yourself.
Yeah, because I think we are still, you know, religious and faithful, and there's a bit of superstition in there too. And usually another fun fact is that the Vietnamese, we start celebrating a new year 7 days before the actual New Year's Eve.
Oh, wonderful.
A nice drawn-out celebration.
This is Everybody Eats on Joy 94.9 with Milo, Brett and Anastasia. And we've come to the end of our time.
It's gone so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Look, it's been an absolute pleasure. Next week, you have got a whole new panel. You have got Minx, Sasha and Robbie. And they're going to be chatting a little bit about Valentine's Day, I believe.
Are we?
Super excited.
Okay, cool.
Love is in the air, Minxie.
Seductive foods and all that lovely stuff.
Exactly.
But if you have got any suggestions on what you'd like to hear on this show, you can send us through an email, everybodyeats@joy.org.au. That's our time for now. We wish everyone a happy Lunar New Year this weekend.
Yeah, enjoy yourself whatever you get up to.
And I hope that you've learned something, whether you have celebrated it before or you've never celebrated it before. You will find something in this interesting holiday.
Well, I've learned not to listen to Anastasia because she makes me drool when she talks about food.
Well, from my culture, we would say Gong Xi Fa Tai.
Okay, and what was that in English for all us?
Happy Lunar New Year.
Aha, yeah. Lovely. Oh,
that was Happy Lunar New Year from Sasha. This is Everybody Eats on Joy 94.9. See you next week.
Bye.
You've been listening to Everybody Eats on Joy. Catch us again next week for more food, fun, and fabulous conversations. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Everybody Eats Joy to stay connected.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.